This is Sunday, 4/27/25, and this is a teaching called Apostolic Authority. I want to look over to Romans chapter 15. Starting with verse 15. Verse 15 says, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so I strive to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest it should build upon another man's foundation." I want to look today at the apostolic authority in the operation of God that's happening right now in our time. We have a certain jurisdiction, as do all apostolic teams. Paul's talking about here. He's not going to tread anywhere else but where God has sent him. Lord has shown me that Satan's high places in these counties is the county seat. The high place in the cities is city hall. All of Satan's ley lines will be connected across our land and even across the world. We are only assigned to the 17 counties of the Permian Basin. In other words, wherever these high places end in our jurisdiction, that's where they end. That's what we have authority over. Not beyond that. By being informed about who the leaders are and what positions they hold, as well as the Spirit-filled church leaders. I'm not looking into anything that's not a Spirit-filled church, because you just might as well just give up then. Trying to deal with people that are not even Spirit-filled. They haven't even followed the Lord in that, much less the other. The high place in the cities is, okay, I already read that. Okay, we can begin. Let me read that over. By being informed about who the leaders are and what positions they hold, as well as the Spirit-filled church leaders. In other words, the pastors of those churches and the Spirit-filled churches in these counties. We can begin to pray. I've already looked at some of them. There's quite a few. We can begin to pray for them. Those in authority, as a first step, is changing who sits in the high places. God is doing this across the nation, and here is what the Lord has shared with me about it. So our jurisdiction is going to butt up against somebody else's jurisdiction. Excuse me. All right. The Lord has said to us that this is an orchestrative move. This is the visitation 2:10:24, orchestrated all at once. That's what the Lord said. Of all apostolic teams in the nation, all at the same time, I believe that scripture bears that out. If that's true, it's going to cover everything. Everyone will have their part in their jurisdiction, but everything will be covered if everyone obeys God. Okay, we need to pray that they will. Revelation 18. Starting with verse 1. "And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. He cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, the cage of every unclean, hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. And the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. In other words, what they've done to us, they get double back. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. They've done this so long that they have had an arrogancy and an entitlement that they do not deserve. They think they're untouchable. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. In other words, it's going to come on them like a flock of buzzards and they're not going to be able to escape. This is all at once. Orchestrated all at once in one day, death and mourning and famine. She shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. We see right now the left fighting back with everything they have, trying to reinstitute all the heinous stuff that they've done all these thousands of years. And it ain't working. This time it's not working. And the merchants of the earth shall sweep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones, of pearls, fine linen, purple and silk and scarlet, and all fine wood, and all manner vessels of ivory, all manner vessels of most precious wood, of brass and iron and marble, and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, and beast and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. See, while President Trump is bringing manufacturing everything back into the United States and giving the people or the countries that will cooperate, giving them incentives and not charging them any tariffs, if they'll build here and make stuff here. All's coming back to this nation. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. They're panicking right now. They can't run for their bunkers. They've been all destroyed, plugged up. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand far off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. We see this going on right now. Every once in a while, you'll see an interview of their arrogance thinking that they're going to reinstitute, saying, this is a constitutional crisis. And saying, alas, alas, that great city. Oh, it was so much better before. They're taking away everything we've ever known. This is a constitutional crisis. They wouldn't know the Constitution if it came up and bit them on the nose. And saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour, so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors, as many as trade by sea, stood afar off. No more bombing of our ships by the, is it the Houthis? They have just wreaked havoc in the, I think it's the Red Sea. Well, they have to go all the way around Africa just to get their goods around because of these pirates. And cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour she made desolate. 1 hour. it's happening in the spirit first, the apostolic teams. And we're going to see this in Scripture, not in this teaching, but the next, I think. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets. There's that Scripture that I wanted to bring up. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. These apostolic teams are in their places and taking third heaven authority and ruling and reigning right here in Revelation. That's how it's going to happen. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. I love it. No more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeteers shall be heard no more at all. And then I'll bring that up in the next teaching about God's music. They're no longer going to confiscate God's music. Shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by their sorceries were all nations deceived. Well, one of those avenues is Big Pharma. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. So they killed everyone that's been killed wrongly in this earth. They did it. Them and their descendants. As all the apostolic teams stand hand in hand with the Holy Spirit, this will transpire all at once. Then comes the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is chapter 19. Let me get a drink. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and the and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to get to see this in the natural, I believe. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren that had the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and I behold a white horse, and he that sat up upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Could it be, when I first started seeing Revelation in a different light, the Lord said there's a heavenly perspective and there is a natural perspective. I think we're seeing the heavenly perspective here. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, of them that sit on them, the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and the fowls were filled with his flesh. So the marriage supper of the Lamb is basically Armageddon. Each part standing in their place together to bring this change. We should never underestimate the part we are playing. It may seem small to us, but in the scheme of things, it is huge. Because if someone doesn't do their part, it's not a complete work. It gets better. Pastors won't cut it. God is having to raise up apostles and prophets for this time in history to get the job done. If they could have done it, if they were equipped to do it, they would have done it, but they're not equipped to do that. Only those with the blueprints and God's direct orders can do it. That's like sending foot soldiers into the place where the general is supposed to reside and give orders and make the plans. It is not the time to be down and sad for the intensity of the warfare. It is time of rejoicing, for the marriage supper of the Lamb is here. Jesus is coming, and he has full authority to do so. Revelation 20, 1 through 6, that's when the devil is lassoed and thrown into the pit and bound for 1,000 years. President Trump calls that 1,000-year reign the Golden Age. One of the visitations, 3:19-25, talks about light be moments. This is why the angel is saying, rejoice, apostles and prophets, for they will be speaking God's plans into existence. To the return to third heaven authority for the body of Christ, the apostles and prophets exercising third heaven authority. God has avenged us. This word avenged, decide mentally or judicially, to try, condemn, and punish. Decision for or against, in other words, judgment. Keep the right perspective and be not overwhelmed by the discomfort because you're experiencing, because we are in the transition process. Now, this is the good part. I want you to go to Romans 8 right quick. We'll come back to this. Romans 8, 22. I've been asking the Lord about this. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. I believe that's a lot of what of the pain we're going through. Groan means to moan jointly. Experience a common calamity. The earth is in transition. We're going to go into the golden age. We're coming out of this horrible 6,000 years of Satan's terror on the earth. Travaileth means to have pangs in company simultaneously. Said everyone's groaning right now. They're groaning. Okay. Transition is the hardest part of the birthing process. This is what transition is. Passage from one state or stage, subject, or place to another. Change. It appears that nothing is going on in the natural world, but only the onslaughts you are experiencing. But a whole lot is going on in the spiritual realm. In the visitation, the Lord told us to buckle up, for it was going to get bumpy as the church rises to third heaven authority. The Holy Spirit also spoke to us about the curtain call. This is not the beginning, it's the end. The curtain call comes at the end, not at the beginning. Revelation 11:15 talks about the last trump. Everyone takes their bows in the curtain call. 11:15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." That's the last trump. Who's our president? Trump. No pun intended. He's the last trump. The Q post reflects that Trump would be the last president. Now here's the best part. 1 Corinthians 15. It had me rejoicing when the Lord showed me this. Made me feel not so bad. Well, let's start with 50 here. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." Now, I've just read to you, the kingdoms of this world are now becoming the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. "For this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. "For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall we be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." That was such good news to me. I said, "Lord, I've never seen it in that way before. No more death, but only victory." The Lord keeps saying, "You're going to be so glad you stuck with it." Changed means to make different. I believe there are two groups in Revelation 20 that will reign with him. Group one, let's look there. Revelation 20, start with verse 4 and 5 there. "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So, and it said, "But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished." This is the first resurrection. So those who died in this cause will reign with him. And then this group. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, of such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. There's the second group. I believe we fit in the second group. Okay, go back to 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse 6. Is that right? 13. 4:13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." We all go to meet him in the air. I remember that song. I want you to be encouraged with that today. The last trumpet has sounded. Let's go to Revelation chapter 11. Verse 15. I read this a while ago, but I'm going to read a few more parts of it. A little bit more of it. This is 15. The seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." The 24 elders, which sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged. And thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and earthquake and great hell." The only thing remaining left is judgment, and that would be the vials, and I believe that is what we're currently witnessing with the deep state being taken out. The wrath of God on the beast and its systems. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of this has already transpired. We just have not been given knowledge of it. They've been in an operation for a long time. They've been doing stuff behind the scenes for a long time. Revelation 15. Verses 1 through 8. "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou art holy, for all nations shall come and worship thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened, and the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, having their breasts girded with golden girdles, and one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled." Why do you think the smoke's there? I'm just going, what happens when we worship God? His glory fills the temple. What's what I see in this right here? He's able to do that because we have gotten in our place and we have worshiped him. Worship is all part of our warfare. One more and we're going to go to the next. This is Revelation 14. If you want to know where you fit, right here. "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. Here's the church. Having his father's name written in their foreheads, and I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne." New song! We're going to touch on a new song today. I only got one scripture from the Psalms. That's all I got, but here's another one. "New song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. Okay, I believe this is where we are.
Can we stop it right there?